The situation, sadly, has worsened. Starting right now, no one may go outside under any circumstances. Leaving your homes could result in catastrophic damage to you and to the very fabric of the universe. Okay, bye.
Dorkness to Light, hosted by Alan and M. Middleton.
We aim to explore what takes place at the corner of theology and geekology.
Episode 39, A Quarantine Conversation. Welcome to episode 39 of Dorkness to Light. This is our show where we take a look at pop culture in terms of where those stories intersect with concepts in religion, faith, theology, spirituality.
And in this episode, we wanted to take a chance to connect with each other, connect with you guys, and talk about how we've been doing in our current corona-based isolation situation.
And for the first time ever, we are recording a Dorkness to Light outside of the 6 feet rule, because we're usually about 6 inches apart.
Outside of the 6 mile rule.
That is true too. We're not sitting right next to each other, uncomfortably close.
It's extremely surreal.
And through the magic of technology, I'm looking at you in the face instead of looking at each other as profile shots.
Mm-hmm. Down the ear canal.
So that is so weird. So weird. But one thing I've learned in these days as a big podcast listener is that most podcasts are going one of the two extremes. Either they're not releasing or they're so stir crazy they're releasing something every day.
And yeah, it's been interesting.
So I think we're just maybe at this point just stick with our normal schedule until listeners will know when we've gone crazy one way or the other.
Yeah, because we'll just be blogging constantly.
But for this one, just wanted to start with a little piece of feedback that we got from our listener, Carla Y, because she wrote in to check in on us in an email titled, Waving from a Distance. Professor, how are you guys? Are you and the family doing okay? I've been trying to just touch base with friends in the last couple of days and say hello. Hope you, M, and Mrs. Quarterbin all are happy and healthy. I do have an ulterior motive, LOL. She then references a tweet that I retweeted about K-pop because, of course, Carla is into K-pop. She said, I look at K-pop, K-dramas, and Hallyu culture as just a further extension of my other nerdy interests, except with a ton of hot guys and fun music. Well, you know, I was going to ask what the attraction is.
High,
I guess I know.
There's a high anime overlap there.
Yes.
So,
yes. Carla adds that she was supposed to see BTS in June at Soldier Field in Chicago, but the tour was just postponed. I'm happy that it wasn't canceled outright. At least at some point, next year probably, I will get to see them. Smiley face emoticon. Anyway, things are okay as expected here. My mom and I are well. I had started a new job last month at a bookstore, but we had to close as non-essential. So I'm laid off. I'm staying positive, though. God is good, and we'll get through all of this. I haven't had much nerd talk with people for a while, so pardon the rambling. Praying for you guys. Take care, Carla. First question, M. Is K-pop the new J-pop? That's all I need to know as a 50-something-year-old man.
Yes, Japan is out, Korea is in.
Boom. Now, I feel like now I am up to speed.
Thoroughly updated.
In the world of anime and, I guess, related cultural interests. And I guess I give folks credit, like when they get into anime, a large number get into Japanese culture as well. And it seems like the same thing is happening with Korea. So that's probably a good thing, right?
It's cool.
Yeah.
I dig that. Carla talked about music events, and that's sort of what we're trying to figure out as well going forward, because this year is the year of audio feed. So we'll
It's still 3 months out.
And it's still listed,
It's at a state park, is that right? It's at a public park, maybe a county or a state fairground or something. So there'll be some governmental decision as to whether it can go on. And from what I understand so far, very few things past early to mid-June have been canceled. So fingers crossed. But, you know, if worse comes to worse, we may have to change up our even odd situation.
Oh.
I'm just saying for 2021. I'm just saying.
It's going to throw off our whole, like, routine. It's going to throw off the whole schedule.
No! And actually, did want to give a shout out in addition to Carla, to some other online and podcasting friends who've reached out to check in on us. The Sutherlands and Stella, and those are just a few. And we want to thank everyone who's done that for us. And following in their footsteps, I've reached out to a few of our online and podcast friends, sort of starting off with those I knew had some dramas and traumas in their lives recently. So just wanted to check in and would encourage others to consider that as well.
Yeah, I've been trying to push myself to reach out and check in on people more. In these sorts of situations, my instinct is very much to withdraw and hide, which on the one hand is important for me to preserve my own emotional energy and all that, but it is also good to reach out to talk to people. I cannot describe how grateful I am that I have rejoined a church.
Right.
Because even though it is on the one hand kind of overwhelming, the amount that people are reaching out from there to me, it is also nice to know that I have people that I can also reach out to. Mm-hmm. When I talked to my priest yesterday, I told him, congratulations, you are the fifth person this week that I have spoken to. I've talked to five people.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I know.
That realization of like how small my circle has gotten. Mm-hmm. It's not that I want to talk to people all the time, but I would like to talk to more than six or seven people in a week's period.
Yeah, I get that. You're not counting the two cats as people. I'm just verifying, maybe. I'm not judging. I'm just asking.
Unfortunately not. They're not very good conversationalists.
Okay. Though they do wonder why you're spending so much time in their house.
One of them wonders that. The other one hopes that this never ends and that we just live in the house forever.
It's a win-win.
But Stella's reached out and talked to me yesterday, so that was nice.
Stella's adorable. Very nice. Did she put on the moose, the bunny ears?
The bunny ears,
and okay, just checking. Okay.
Yeah, you were not special. That was not for you alone. We've gotten a couple of other quick notes from Chris Cook of One Cross Radio, who appreciated our shout out to his show last episode and added, McGee and Me was awesome.
Confirmation, baby.
It was something. And to continue keeping the tone light, we got another note from our friend Kirk, who, lest anyone forget, was the one who once took up offering with his fly down.
And we're not going to let him, you forget.
No, exactly. He said, I announced it was my mother's 100th birthday in church this morning during the announcement. She's only 80, but the look on the faces of all the ladies in front of me was totally worth it.
Unbelievable.
Troublemaker.
And a good transition to our main conversation. Bex from Redeemed Otaku posted this insight. Coronavirus is separating the true introverts from the wannabes. So speaking of true introverts, Em, how you doing?
Bad.
I am
not doing well. It's one of those situations where you realize there's introverted, and then there is literally not being able to engage even with places. And you start to really, really realize how much social interaction you were getting, even if just in extremely small bits and pieces of just physically seeing people. That's the biggest thing that I have been missing.
Again, for me, you know, similarly, I don't think I'm in as bad a place as you are. I will say that. But when I go into work, it's not that I talk to everybody on staff or every faculty member, but I chat with a few of them. And there's a difference between introversion as a choice, like right now I need to rest, right now I need to get more spoons. But that's not the same as no, you can't see anybody. Internal choice versus this being pushed on you.
Yeah. And I wanted to take a moment actually there because you used a phrase that I taught you guys. Which is spoon theory, which I think fortunately more people are familiar with, but not everyone will be. And spoon theory is something that's used a lot when talking about disability and chronic illness and mental illness and things like that. And it is a metaphor for describing the amount of energy you have to do things. So if you think about starting your day with a big handful of spoons, and every time you do something, you have to spend 1, 2, or 3 spoons. For your average person, taking 25 minutes to have a conversation with someone might take 1 spoon. If you're an introvert and that's a lot more draining, it might take 2 or 3. If you're chronically ill and depressed, it might take 5 or 8 or 10. And it's then that you start to realize like, oh, not only do I have a limited amount of energy, but there are limited things I can do with that energy and still have enough left over at the end of the day to take care of myself. A common phrase that we have added to our parlance, which is just really useful as a way of describing, I don't have the energy or the capability or the emotional strength or the time or the anything in order to do a certain thing without it having a value judgment. And I think that's what a lot of people are running into right now, probably introverts most of all, because they get so much of their emotional energy from other people. They're now starting the day with fewer spoons than they're used to. And things that were less taxing are now more taxing. So that is a sort of a useful, it's a useful image to use when trying to rationalize and explain the way that you're feeling or how drained you are by certain situations or drawing sort of boundaries about around things that you can and can't do and things that you can do normally that you can't do now.
Right. And speaking for myself, the way this can manifest for me is that generally speaking, being in large groups, having to speak can be draining, but not always. You know, a positive conversation, a positive, usually a small one-on-one encounter can be gratifying. And I'm just selective, you know, have to be selective in how those happen and who they happen with and the circumstances and the limited number per day. But that number is usually not zero. You know, so you need some connection and just to also include and be compassionate towards our extroverted friends. I thought that this was an interesting insight that somebody mentioned. And that is that, you know, cause you know, sort of certainly in the early days of this, you know, we were, you know, like Bex's comment, you know, this was, you know, a pro introvert situation for that first long weekend before things have started to drag out and seem to do that into the future. But the comment was, you know, introverts, you can enjoy this, but you know that feeling when you walk into a room and there's lots of people that you don't know, meeting or a wedding reception or whatever it is, that's how your extrovert friends are feeling right now. And I do think it's important to understand that side of the equation too. I wish they gave us more compassion, but that does not mean that we should not extend it to them.
Exactly. It's a situation where at least for me, I think, I hope this is a learning experience of like, let's take a moment to really learn how to be sympathetic, because this is a thing that my roommate has been talking about quite a bit recently, mostly the last week, as like in Ohio, we're now in week two of official full-blown quarantine, that the first couple of days, everyone was like, oh my gosh, I get to be home. It's a great vacation. I have time off. I can do all these things. And that after about 5 days, everyone was just starting to feel this horrible grind. And her point from that was, congratulations. You now know what I feel like
every day.
The time. No. Every single day of my life feels like this. All those times in the past when I've said, I can't get out of bed, I can't leave the house, I don't have enough energy to do my laundry, I don't have enough energy to do anything, I can't go out today, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. And you able-bodied persons and extroverted persons were like, I don't get that.
And yeah,
now you have a context for the future of when someone says, I was so depressed I couldn't get out of bed, or I hurt so bad I couldn't leave the house. It's not relaxing. Not relaxing to be at home when you can't be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, for me, in terms of the work stuff, first off, I recognize, you know, I sometimes use this phrase ironically, but here I'll use it honestly, how hashtag blessed that I am. I've got a very secure job. The transition to online was very easy. Most of my classes were at least partially online. Some were already fully online. So the transition for many people, especially in higher ed, was not that hard. Some professors, some subject matters, you know, more traditional folks, you know, they obviously have more of a struggle than I did. So I am on the easy side of that curve at my work. My work is on the easy side of the curve. It's a very secure job. I'm paid through the end of August, no matter what. This fall semester is going to happen. Maybe online fully. Three quarters of my classes were already online. So I recognize from a job and financial place, the sacrifices that our family will have to make are minimal compared to many people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to recognize, that the stresses that I'm feeling are legitimate. They are different than the stressors that other people have been feeling. Now, your mom has basically not gone out of the house since her last day at work. And she's extroverted, but she has been able to keep up with the phones and the texts and the messages and our video calls. So I don't think that the relationship side of it is affecting her too much. It's just the sort of overall stress. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a little stir crazy. I probably go out more than your mom appreciates every couple of days to at least get a fast food meal somewhere or a restaurant takeout. One of the things that I can do to help, and I know not everyone can, is support local artists and support the local restaurants. That's about the best thing that I can do. And so I've been trying to do that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we sort of talk about what we've been doing to pass the time, as it were.
And that's one of the big pieces of advice that I've been seeing everywhere, is find something that you can do that is helping. If that thing is supporting online artists through online means, my roommate upped her Coyote Kid. Mm-hmm. Yep. She upped her Patreon. I've been buying merch from various bands. We have some friends who make things on Etsy that we've been just seeing.
Mom bought some stuff.
Buying gift cards from local restaurants or buying things online if they have options. It's a thing that our buddy Shag has been doing, is frequently posting sales from his local comic shop.
Right.
That are, here are the things that are available, and if you're interested, please email us and we will mail it to you. Finding ways to still be involved in your community and to still be helping out is so important. A lot of places have been saying, like, get involved in some kind of craft, find some physical thing that you can do that's making things better. That's either fixing things around your house or fixing things, getting around to your piles of repairs that you've been putting on, putting all your buttons back on shirts, and that doing something that has like a productive physical value is really, really important right now, especially because a lot of us are realizing how much of our sort of self-identity and value that we place on ourselves is based around our work. And even for people who are still in work, like myself, I am still working, I am still getting paid. Both of these I'm extremely lucky about, but everything about my job has changed.
Yes.
And what I'm being expected to do has changed, and the way I'm doing things is changed. And it feels very weird to complain about that. I'm like, well, I have nothing to do. Again, you'd think, well, that's a vacation. It's like, no, no, it's not. Because all it means is that instead of spending my time and energy doing a thing that I know how to do and doing it well, I'm spending all my time worrying that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
I assume, me to some extent, your mom, I imagine that you have been sent by your HR department various trainings, online trainings that you can view, online courses that you can take, or have they not gotten to that point yet?
I've got a couple, but honestly, I don't really know. I'm actually going to email my boss today specifically and be like, please give
give me something to do.
Even if all I'm supposed to do is just like take a 20-hour Yale course, I will do that.
Give
just
me
like,
guidance. Tell me what to do.
I need a goal.
Yeah, I get that.
I think a lot of us are learning. We're very goal-oriented people. So you want to know what a good way to spend this time is? Video games. Clear, defined, achievable goals.
Absolutely. For me, I'm still the casual gaming sort. Something about my reflexes have not really improved since the Atari 2600 days.
Have you been playing your Atari 2600?
I think your mom dusted it, like literally dusted it off for me. So yes, yes, that is on the list. Also, just to jump back one thing you're talking about a second ago, there was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal about of all the shortages that we're running into of various products, jigsaw puzzles is another one. Ravensburger and some of White Mountain, some of the upscale jigsaw puzzle companies are finding themselves in shortage situations. So there you go. You know, I know it's a big deal when you young kids defeat a game. I defeated a Jewel Quest game. I say that counts.
Absolutely.
But between Jewel Quest, Jewel Quest Solitaire, that adds the card matching aspect, and Jewel Quest Mystery, which adds the hidden, find this item hidden in the picture. See, that's a combination, and I haven't jumped into it yet, but it is right now staring at me from the computer screen, and that is The Sims. That might need a deep diving sometime soon.
And I do just want to point out, Sims 2 Ultimate is right next to it.
Exactly. one thing that happened also early on in this, like, I think it was literally like the first weekend, you know, Friday the 13th, ironically, was when sort of that first way I had actually traveled on the 5th and the 10th to and from my dad's. And your mom was a little worried at the 5th, and so was I. And by the 10th, it was starting to get a little more serious. And then I think that Friday the 13th of March was when some of the encouragements from state
that was the official closure of schools.
Right, yes.
Closure of schools hadn't gone into effect, but they said that it was coming.
Right.
Which basically meant that as soon as every single library heard that the schools were closing, every single one, literally, I'm sure, individually called every single board member within maybe 45 minutes and said, we've got to close.
Explain the connection, because I figured it out just from knowing you, that as soon as public schools closed, public libraries announced they were closing literally that same day.
Because frequently public libraries are used as free daycare, which is a thing that libraries have difficulty with. And as soon as we knew that schools were going to be closed, we knew that there was going to be an instantaneous boom in children attending libraries.
But and staying also, all day.
Bingo, that's the key. It was people coming at 8 or 9 in the morning when the library opened and dropping off their 8, 12, 14-year-old kids and then going to work. And we were like, nope, that
we
is not
have this.
That is not a thing that's legal. That is not a thing that's safe. That is not a thing, especially during this case, that's going to be reasonable for keeping down cases. Because what you're basically going to do is be like, oh, you don't want all your school, all these kids together in a school setting. Well, we'll just take people from multiple schools and drop all those kids at one even smaller building.
Can't have it.
Can't be responsible for that. Can't cause that. Can't create that kind of disease vector. Like, absolutely not.
I got that word about our public library branch closing about 2 hours before it closed. So I was able to run up there and get like 5 audiobooks and 6 comic collections. And if I'd had just like another hour, I could hit like 2 more branches. But it was just too short a notice for that.
It was a crazy hectic weekend, obviously, because then there were also just all sorts of factors about, there were some libraries that were still going to be staffed, but no people. Some were going to have their return boxes were going to be open. Some were locking their return boxes. People were trying to pick up their holds, trying to call about their holds, extend things, return things, renew things. So it was just a hectic mess. I did go and stock up pretty well on from our local library and from my work. We've probably got like 35 or 40 books checked out right now. Like it's
awesome.
there's just book stacks everywhere. But a thing that I heard about actually after the closure was that one of the libraries in our area actually has a system that they have set up right now where you can call the library. And they're just redirecting the phone messages. And a librarian will actually make you a digital library card if you do not have one. So because they're not lending any physical items,
right,
they're not worried about, well, you have to be, you know, in the area, you have to have a good borrowing record, all of the things they normally take into account. So if you don't have a public library card, call the libraries in your area because they might still have a system set up. It varies library by library. Sure. I've only heard of 2 or 3 that are currently doing this, but there are some, because talked about this to you and occasionally on various podcasts, the way that libraries get their funding is by usage. So the best thing that you can do for your library right now, if you have a library card,
is check out digital stuff.
Use their digital stuff, because that's the only stats that they're going to have.
And we've mentioned before the terrific app Hoopla and or Overdrive. And at least Hoopla, I think Overdrive as well, aren't they based on library card?
So yeah, Overdrive got a rebranding and renaming.
Okay.
So it's now called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y.
Okay.
So if you have a library card, download the Libby app, attach your card, and then just use the heck out of it.
Absolutely.
I know that you really love Hoopla.
I
like Overdrive, especially right now, because it doesn't have monthly borrowing limits.
Oh, so you have been plowing through audiobooks like crazy, I imagine.
I think I will have listened to my 14th audiobook the end of the day.
I'm not asking for details. How many new, how many re-listens? Because I know.
All re-listens.
Awesome. You know, that's that comfort level. That is
exactly.
I gotcha. Well, you know that, again, that first weekend, that Friday the 13th weekend, was, I'm sure this was already planned, this had to have been, but that happened to be an HBO free preview weekend, 15 HBO channels. So I was able to DVR the first 2 seasons of Westworld. And I thought about it, and I went ahead and got the first episode of the 3rd season, because that was what they were building towards that weekend. That's why they had those 2 marathons. And then on their other channels, we got I DVR'd again 3 or 4 movies that Some I've watched with mom, some watched on my own. So at least I've had some of those things to take up some time with. Just a weird synergy of themes. Like I'm watching Westworld, which is, you know, artificial intelligence and all of that sort of stuff. And I decided, well, let me take a break from that and I'll watch Battle Angel Alita. Oh, wait, that's exactly the same thing. It's like, this was not a change of pace. I should have gotten like a Fast and the Furious movie or something just to at least have a change of pace thematically in what I was watching.
Just to break it up. Well, while you were watching a bunch of stuff about AI and robots and things like that, I was watching three straight seasons of The Good Place.
Nice.
This is not going to be surprising to anyone. It's a really good show.
Yeah.
It's really, 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 really good. Have you yet?
No, but we can say dorkness appropriate.
Yes, dorkness approved. It is on our recommendations list. So I have not watched the final season. Season 4 is still exclusive right. to NBC. Right. But the rest of it was on Netflix, and so I plowed through all of that in a weekend.
That's awesome.
Speaking of things from the library, our library has a great collection of British murder mysteries. And again, if you have a library card, you might have access to Acorn TV, which has a bunch of British and Australian murder mysteries. So I got two seasons of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. I got Doctor Who Series 11. That's on my list. And Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. And two seasons of Dirk Gently.
Nice. Nice. Good for you. Now, let me ask the all-important question. I personally have no interest in watching Tiger Kings.
Me neither.
Oh, good. I feel so
Yeah,
good.
No, don't worry. God, don't worry.
I thought I was the only one. You and I are the only ones.
No, I've been watching something that's significantly better called Kibo and the Wonder Beasts. There is a whole animation department at Netflix, which has been putting together some really good high-quality stuff for the last couple of years. About 3 years ago, they really sort of amped up their whole animation department in order to try and really be able to launch their own original animated cartoon series for kids and the young juvenile audience.
Right.
So Kibo and the Wonder Beasts is, hilariously, another one of these post-apocalyptic kids shows. They're their own genre now, their own Adventure Time inspired genre of cutesy post-apocalyptic shows, but it is very good. It's lighthearted enough, but it has some pretty serious and dark and messed up undertones under the cutesiness. So I definitely enjoyed that. Next up is catching up on She-Ra and The Dragon Prince.
I've heard good things about She-Ra. Our friend and listener Nathaniel Wayne, I believe, is a fan of the new She-Ra.
Oh, yeah. It's so great.
Throw in, needless to say, people who know me, especially from our more mainstream podcasting efforts, I've been reading a ton of comic books. Because even though I am still teaching and preparing and transferring some lectures over to online, that not driving time, the not office hours time, the not hour and a half at a time lecture time, the not eating lunch out time. It's a lot of time to do other stuff while actually working. You sort of realize all of that in-between time. So I've read a lot of comics and listened to a lot of audiobooks and listened to a lot of podcasts. I'm actually keeping up on some of these things while working through some of the TV shows as well. It's crazy.
Yeah, one of my goals for maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks from now when I'm hopefully more even keeled, more of a routine, more Agreed. Of a setup, more direction, I have an entire shelf on my bookcase of comic book collections that people have given me. Like original graphic novels and trades and things like that I have literally never read. So one of my goals is that I am going to read through all of them, and then the ones that I actually want to keep, I'll keep, and the rest will go into a box that I could donate to Half Price Books when they reopen in 2 or 3 or 4 months.
Nice. I don't know exactly what sort of system you have, a process. I'm trying to envision if you have a really nice comfy chair, that sofa's really comfy, but maybe open up a window, get a breeze, get the birds. If that chills you, that's okay. Throw a blanket, read some comics.
Yes. And fingers crossed, hopefully tomorrow, my roommate and I are going to go hiking, like hardcore hiking, and get out of the house for like 4 or 5 hours.
I know you two have done some outside things so far. Weather's been a little chilly around here the last few days, but your mom is looking ahead to the weather forecast and figures that she's going to need at least one walk a day, if not two. That's part of that, of what's, I think, starting to stress her out as well. Literally the vitamin D from the sun, much less stretching the legs. Because you don't realize how many steps you take from your car into your office, from the office around to check in on people and deliver something to a colleague and walk back around and walk to lunch, and a couple thousand steps that we're all missing in the course of a day.
Yeah, that's been an active goal, is that anytime we are just so wound up that we can't anymore, is go and lay down for like an hour and then, okay, put on real clothes, put on some shoes, we're going outside.
Have you and or your roommate taken advantage or participated in any of the group watches? I know the Doctor Who world has done some of those, where either through Netflix, or if you don't have the British version of that, you throw in the DVD. I think they did, and then different people. Russell Davis did one. Stephen Moffat did one. They recently did Vincent and the Doctor, sort of everybody watching at the same time. And on the official BBC Twitter, it was, I guess, was that a Matt Smith episode? Yeah, it was Matt Smith and the fellow that played Vincent, I think it was, or maybe Bill Nighy. Yeah, Bill Nighy may have been, as the, you know, that they were the celebrity live tweeters, and other shows and things have done that. So I think that's an interesting approach to it, attempting to bring some communal aspect to the viewing.
Not really, but we've been getting a lot more connected with one of the chatting services called Discord. And we've been using that quite a bit in order to sort of try and keep in touch with everybody. And that has a lot of tie-ins for live streaming and video chatting and group gaming and things like that that we have not taken advantage of yet. But again, give it another week of stir craziness and we'll see.
We'll throw out just one sort of piece of advice, and listeners, you don't need to take this as a judgment. If you don't think you're going to do this, it's more as an encouragement. But the way it was phrased was, if you don't come out of this with at least one new skill, you're doing it wrong. And again, take out the negative aspect of those last few words, but think of it as a goal to come out of this with at least one new skill. Your mom has gotten pretty good at some of the tech things that she's had to adapt to the last week or so. And of the three of us, she was starting the furthest back. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, so she's been doing catch up on that for sure. Like I said, this is a opportunity for me, at least, and my roommate to be like, okay, here are like a thing that we never actually hung up. Here are posters that we never put up. Here's a lamp that we never actually fixed at any point. And sort of going around and trying to find all those little things that we have been ignoring or putting off, been like, just sort of looking around and being like, oh God, what was the last time we swept? Because we literally don't have an excuse not to right now. And so trying to do some of that stuff once it's officially spring. So hopefully like Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, right.
We are going to try and get out and do some pretty hardcore gardening.
Nice.
And like trim some hedges and get some stuff really cut back.
I am sort of looking forward to it, and that almost is there. And that's lawn mowing season, because it's the process of, you know, any work like that out in the outdoors, whether it's trimming or planting flowers or that beautification process, there is a sense of neatening up or even order from chaos.
Yes, that sense of accomplishment that a lot of us right now are kind of missing.
It's something that makes me sweat, and that's not a bad thing either. You know, some actual physical manual labor.
I almost feel bad saying, like, what's been happening over here at this house, which is a lot of Animal Crossing.
Unless my Twitter is lying to me, you are not alone.
So the new Animal Crossing is now out, but we don't actually have the system for it. So we've been playing the mobile version of Animal Crossing pretty aggressively for about a week. And similarly to that is the game Stardew Valley. It's a joke, but also I think it's very true. A lot of therapists are learning about the therapeutic value of video games, because there are a lot of people who are using Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing as their primary neighborhood simulator. I can't go out and talk to people, but here's a little video game where I can go talk to my neighbors and give them presents and pick flowers and go to the store.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, just what we mentioned before, is that I'm not going to work, but you know who is? My Sim. They can go out and go to work.
Exactly. It is. Some people are like, oh, it's sad. And I was like, I think it's just kind of funny how when we are in these situations where it's like, oh, we need some sense of normalcy, everyone's on the simulator games.
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm going to play Neighborhood Simulator. I'm going to play Farm Simulator.
I was going to, here's the other thing. You've done a lot more Farmville and similar types of games. In other words, you right now, Em, you're a much better resource manager than I am, because you've been doing it for years.
This is very true. So that's been our big thing. Also, there are actually some app versions of board games that I downloaded. So there's one game that's available through Steam and on PlayStation called Armello, which is like a Carcassonne, Settlers of Catan style, like hex square resource management fighting game. But it's a video game. You don't have to have a group of people to play, and you can play online with people, or you can just play on your own. And the other one is a game called Tokaido, which is sort of about the Silk Road in Japan. Both of those have been super, super soothing, because again, it's got that resource nice. Management vibe, right. That turn-based rhythm, and I found that really relaxing.
You mentioned connecting up with Father Joe and the team, which I was gratified to hear. I didn't know you'd been there such a short amount of time. I didn't know if contact information had been taken, and I know it's a small effort, so I didn't know how the communication, it was one of those things, as a parent, I didn't want to ask if they'd reached out to you, because if the answer was no, and maybe you hadn't noticed that, it would just make you more sad.
Yeah.
So I was, I admit to a hesitancy to pursue that, but you mentioned that they had.
I think somebody at one point had actually tried to call me at about 9:30 in the morning, which, as you know, that's not going to work. No. especially not now. Mostly what I've been getting is a lot of emails, and they've been really, really good about embracing Zoom and digital versions of things. Good. Really, really, really hardcore. And I actually talked to Father Joe about this. One of the most ironic parts of this is getting involved with a community that is as tactile as the Episcopal Church before a moratorium on physical interaction and gathering and all of that sort of thing. And I feel a lot of sympathy for Jewish people who are
moving into Passover,
preparing for Passover, which starts in like 5 days. Mm-hmm. something like that. Monday, Thursday is the day after. So a lot of plans that people were making for very physical group gathering ritual things have had to change really, really quickly. There's actually been a lot of flexibility and accommodation happening really, really quickly, which has been pretty heartening. It's still sad and still difficult, but a lot of people have been making like plans for digital Passover and how can you, you know, what sort of things can you do? If I can't get actual matzah, could I make soda bread? Right. You know, what sort of things can we do during this time with limited resources? How many people can you have on Zoom at once in order to do certain things? And some of it's funny and some of it's really heartfelt, trying to find ways to do these sorts of things. Like Palm Sunday, there's not going to be any palm gathering, but St. Matt's house just has a giant bucket of palm on the front porch. If you just want to go pick one up, you can just go drive up to the house and walk up to the porch and pick one up. If you want to wave at the priest, you can you can ring the doorbell and he'll come and he'll open the door and he'll wave at you and he'll give you one of these little peace signs and then off you go.
Right. I am a lurker on a certain bit somehow I've fallen into of traditional Catholic Twitter, the trads and the ultra trads, and one of the issues they're having, despite having some guidance from their bishops and even up above that, is that Easter is one of the fairly close to mandatory of gatherings, and thinking about, you know, what exactly that means, what's the process going to be for pushing that off or delaying, or, you know, some of those sort of issues. But I'm reminded, I saw a quote from a pastor and author, Brian Zond, and he said, we're going to have two Easter Sundays this year. The first one will be April 12th, but then the second one will be whenever we can gather again in our churches.
You know,
and I kind of like that approach.
That's a really good quote. I'm going to pass that on to Father Joe. Because when I talked to him, I told him, you know, one of the things I did is I got a whole bunch of books that were actually about disability, because that is a thing that was thematic for Lent this year at St. Matt's. And how this has sort of put into perspective, like I was talking about earlier, like this is the experience that a lot of disabled people have just generally, of being alienated and isolated and being told, well, you can't do that. And if you're not doing it like this, then you're not doing it right. And that this can be a time to really sort of think about that and being like, okay, so what are we all experiencing? How can we find accommodations? And then how can we extend those accommodations to other people? So I've got a couple books that I was planning on reading, and I'm definitely going to pass that quote on to him. Or if you do think about that with the church as the body, well, it is currently in the grave. It is not meeting. That coming together will be a different kind of celebration than the one we're actually used to. And, you know, I'm always a fan of putting those sorts of ideas into practicality of like, you haven't seen each other in 4 months. Doesn't it kind of feel like we all died? Welcome back.
For us, we're not necessarily the biggest huggers, but when we do, it means something. So we've missed out on that. And then I think on the other side, your uncle, my brother-in-law, is a huge hugger. He's had to been a couple of times. He has a developmental disability, so sometimes you have to remind him of things more than once, but you can't hug people.
No.
That's got to be hard on him. It's hard on you and me. It's got to be hard on him as well, and everyone in between.
Absolutely.
We go to a pretty big mega church type of situation. So had never done online or even video service, but we have satellite campuses. So we were used to recording the Saturday service. So we had, and then that will often get played at the Sunday service for the satellite campuses. So some of that technology and expertise was already built in. But one of the things we learned, one of the goals was to, within, you know, a year and a half to have a certain number of new campuses. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they were going to launch in September-ish was the digital campus. So at least they'd thought about, at least preliminarily, you know, 6 months out, had planned a little bit of what that structure would be like. So at least when this came up, is, well, we're launching that 6 months early and everyone's invited.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've been able to do, you know, do the services. Also, each campus has its own Facebook page, and we've done a few live events there. Sometimes the pastor giving a sort of reassurance and a brief update on what's going on, and acoustic worship, you know, a one person leading worship. And your mom's women's group has actually been meeting online. Instead of 12 or 15 people in a room, they've had about 25 people on Zoom or whatever platform that they use. And again, she is coming out of this with some skills and comfort level at that. And for her, as you know, her community is important to her being connected. So being connected in that way has been valuable for her.
Definitely.
But I've seen examples of, I don't know how it worked, but there was like drive up, drive through confession that was offered at various places. So at least, you know, churches have, out of necessity, but have come up with some creative ideas. Hopefully some type of digital Holy Week. Was that what your priest was trying to work the details out on?
Yeah, because there is so much ritual based around Holy Week, which was a thing that you and I had only really become recently, invested in the last couple of years, and trying to find a way to bring that forward is complicated, but they're working really hard for it because it's important. There were videos about how to do various forms of, you know, digital communion and digital vigils and all sorts of things like that. And there was also a video on setting up like an altar in your home, making your own sacred space, which is another thing that I've seen a lot of people recommending. And again, I'll give a shout out to all of my, you know, my pagan friends and fellow bloggers and things like that, of like, you guys are,
they were prepared for this.
They're like, hey, do you want tips on individual ritual practice and stuff like that? Because you can't do communal ritual practice. It's like, yeah, that would be nice. That'd be real nice.
Can't remember if it was in the email that you shared or elsewhere that I saw somewhere is trying to put together a digital or a virtual Stations of the Cross as well as part of Holy Week. So
that's Father Joe. We'll see. I'm keeping my eyes peeled for the emails.
Exactly.
See how it works.
So we're entering into a holy time, a time of much emotion. Including a celebration. And we recognize that's going to be tough. And aren't going to have an episode between this one and Easter. So happy Passover and happy Easter and whatever other celebrations are appropriate to you.
So thank you all for listening. We love you. We love getting to interact with you at least a little bit over distance.
Yes.
We know that this show occupies a very small niche of a small niche, and we value each and every one of you. And we would love for any of you to reach out and tell us what you're doing during this time to keep yourself sane and centered, and what you are doing to accommodate all these changes in your own religious practice. We would be very interested to know.
Yes. Because wherever you come from within the big tent of the Christian world, or if you identify as being outside that world, or if you just don't know where you are, where you belong, especially in these crazy days, you can come here. All are welcome.
And until next time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
While you're waiting for the next podcast episode, check out our websites, dorknesstolight.blogspot.com contains reviews, essays, and other similar ramblings.
And dorkdistolight.tumblr.com, which contains some of that material, as well as top tens, cool photographs, memes, and religious puns. We also run a general interest comic book podcast network, Relatively Geeky. That content can be found at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or by searching iTunes for Relatively Geeky.
Let us know what you think of this topic, this episode, or this podcast in general. Feel free to send your thoughts to us at dorknesstolight@gmail.com. We would also appreciate any ratings or reviews left for the podcast in the iTunes store to help like-minded people find us.
Our intro, outro, and promo music is all provided by Anderson Kale. Search for them online to listen to or purchase their music.
Thanks for listening.